Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to announce I'm collaborating with ARG Apparel on merch for Brocal Therapy. Now you can support BGT, look fucking dope, and make this shit a movement. To purchase your order, please go to brocotherapy.com. And please, don't forget, take a screenshot of you listening to this episode on whatever podcast app you're listening on, put it on your Instagram story, tag me at Stephanie Megan and at Brocal Therapy, and enjoy the show.
Yes, bitch.
Hi, this is Stephanie Megan. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Because therapy is too expensive. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke girl therapy. Again, like, whatever, in your actual tone of voice. You know how this works.
Okay, yes. So this is probably the tone that I'm probably going to be talking in, somewhere around this level. I don't really get too loud. My laugh will probably be the loudest thing that I probably do. But I'm excited to do this. We just drank a little bit. Still drinking.
Always drinking. I've been drinking.
I smoked a little bit, so I might sound a little mellow.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, you have to feel the way that you like to feel.
Absolutely. No, I feel really good right now.
That's like, good.
I'm telling you, I was excited on my way here because I was like, aww, it sounds really fun.
Oh, yay. I want people on the show, like, I want them to have fun. Like, even if they're like super high, super chill, like, if they're having fun, they're having, like, I want them to have fun. I feel like that's what makes the show fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I want you to feel the way that you want to feel. If you don't want to be too drunk like my last guest, Satowski, then you don't have to be that way.
Maybe not that level, but...
No, yeah. He doesn't know how to control himself. Okay, let's hear that back. I always like a candid beginning. How do you feel about that?
That's so funny because that's how I used to start
out.
Really? I don't do it anymore.
Why?
Because...
You got professional.
I feel like it's
like on brand for me.
But this is the thing, like I said, I went through a weird phase, so now I may start again with the candids again. Like,
right? I think it just depends.
I'm doing it by myself now, so I can do it how I want it.
Exactly. I think that's the beauty of podcasting. But anyway, let's get into it. Hi guys, it's me, Stephanie Megan, your host, a motherfucking Broke Girl Therapy. And guess who I have in the house? He's never been here before. This is the second time I've ever motherfucking met him. His name is Mike Brown.
What's going on?
And you have your own podcast. So I feel like us doing this, we're just kind of like working together because we know how this goes. Like, you were like checking my audio and shit right now too. And that was super cool. What's your podcast called? Tell them about it.
It's called The Art of Letting Go. Started just like this podcast.
Okay. Can I tell the story?
Yes.
Sorry. Like, I love this story. So, okay. Background story, you guys. I met Mike at an event that I went to recently. It's called The Podcast of Color. Right? Am I fucking that up?
It was podcasters.
Podcasters of color.
Same thing.
And it was put up by Jay O'Connor. Shout out to Jay. He's super dope. I went to his past events as well too. And I saw Mike and I was like, okay. I was like, he cute. I like the way he dressed. I'm like, okay, I'm into this. You look real good. The thing is, like, Mike, you have like, it's not even just like, yeah, you're cute, but you had this like energy about you that was super inviting.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Like, you're so sweet. And you have like, you just had this like smile on your face that was like, you were easy to go up to, you know? And I think we saw each other at like the food.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cute. You know, I was like, okay, cute. You know, like. You know, and then I saw him after the panel was over and we kind of looked at each other. I was like, hey, you have a podcast? He's like, I do. And then and you were telling me about your show.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, and I was like, oh, why did you start? And you're like, you know, what did you say?
I remember I told you I started going to therapy after I came out. Mm. And then it got too expensive.
And I was like, oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh, he's gay. Okay. All right. Cool. What up, bitch? What's going on? I like changed my demeanor. I was like, okay, cool. All right. You, okay. It's cool. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's no big deal. Happens all the time.
Racist.
I know. I was like, what's that girl? What's good? And you were just like, you know, I was starting to go to therapy, but honestly, like, therapy got too expensive. Yep. And me and my friend Jess, who's been on the show, Jessica Clark, what's up? We literally like, oh. And then I told you about my show and I was like, you need to come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm glad to be here. I really am.
You're just like, I can't explain it. Like, okay, in my past episode, I met a medium and she told me that I was a bit of a medium too. And she's like, you could really read people's energy. And I'm like, I can, like, super well. So, like, yeah, that was something the first about you. Like I said, you just had such an inviting energy. So I was like, I right away was like, you need to come on the show. And then the fact that you were gay and, like, unavailable, I was like, are they always unavailable? story of my life. I was like, let's talk about being a black queer. Because you were really, like, open about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a beautiful thing because, I mean, it's obviously everyone that knows me knows that, like, most of my friends are gay men. And I've had a lot of LGBTQ people on this show. Okay. And I stand by it. You know, I love dick. yeah, and I think that, like, and I had this conversation with my friend, like, every single person that's been in the LGBTQ community has, you know, their own story.
Yeah.
And because there's different types, it's not just one. So you might be a gay man, but you're different from a white gay man.
Absolutely.
You are a black gay man.
Absolutely.
And that's in its own, you know, oppression that you go through.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important to talk about it. And I want to talk about it.
I appreciate that. And I'm here to talk about it.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. So when did you know you liked dick?
Third grade.
Third grade?
Yeah.
Specifically third grade. Why?
I don't know why so specific third grade.
You're like, it's third grade.
But that's like the earliest memory that I had. And I remember just looking at guys and being attracted to, like, celebrities and, like,
right,
like, dry humping.
Oh my God. I loved dry humping pillows before. I was totally there. Did you dry hump pillows? What did you dry hump?
Pillows and people.
People?
Yeah.
Like in third grade? In third grade, you dry humped people? Who did you dry hump? Because I, like, dry hump till this day. It's because I'm, like, not ready.
Well, it's not as much as an adult dry hump, but. Okay.
I don't know. I dry humped.
I was introduced to dry humping in third grade.
Wow. Why?
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
We can talk about it. We can. Wow. I've never even talked about this on my podcast. So
whatever you. Here's the thing. Whatever you're comfortable with. Because
I'm comfortable. Okay. So I was introduced to dry humping by one of my cousins. Mm. And
yeah.
But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Wait. Your cousin just
not.
We gotta clarify.
Not it being my cousin.
Right. But
the experience of it didn't feel like I was, like, molested or something.
Right. Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Did he just tell you about the dry humping and you were like, I'm interested, or what happened?
I don't remember how it happened.
Okay.
But it did happen.
Okay.
And, I remember, like, he had, like, a birthday party that was a sleepover or something like that.
Cute.
Wow. I can't even believe I'm saying all this. Yeah. But let's keep going.
it's therapy. And shit, like, just comes out.
Yeah. And it was like, hella kids there, like, everybody was, like, dry humping at this party, like,
right.
Yeah, it's like a dry hump sleepover party.
You know what, it's so weird, and I will say, like, as kids, like, especially, how old were you, third grade? At that age, like, even though we're not really necessarily at puberty, you still have those curiosities.
Absolutely.
You are still, like, you're experiencing things with your body that's like, why do I like to feel, like, I remember just, like, touching myself. It wasn't necessarily masturbation, but, like, I would touch myself and I would, like, play with my clit. I just think, like, this feels nice. And just, like, me watching TV and just, like, touching my clit while I'm watching fucking, like, Rugrats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I never had the desire to do that with a girl at all.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
So you never, like, hooked up with a girl?
I kissed a girl. I tried hooking up with a girl. And I say try because
I think every gay man,
shout out to her for being a trooper,
right?
Because she tried and it just was like zero performance for her.
Oh, I mean,
And I feel, can I apologize to her here?
Yeah, do it.
Sorry, Erica. Oh, wow. If you even remember that, like if she even remembers that, but right. like she, gosh, yeah, she tried for me and I just wasn't interested. And I feel like I made her feel like it was her fault, but it right. really wasn't.
And that happens.
Absolutely.
That and it's not anyone's fault.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's really right. not.
And then, so how about your coming out? How about your coming out story? How was that? Like, was your family supportive? Like, did everyone just know already? Like, how was that, you know?
Okay, so let me share a tale as old as time. And I'm sure you guys would relate. I'm pretty sure. So I had a friend who recently ended up on a date with a guy who showed her pictures of his ex during dinner. Yeah, you heard it right. Pictures of him and his ex. And then I had another friend who matched with a guy and spent an evening chatting about dogs and travels, only to get his dick pic out of the blue. We've all been there, right? Swiping through a sea of potential matches, only to find ourselves in a shipwreck of weirdos and dating disasters. It may sound funny, but let's talk real talk. The constant letdowns, bizarre encounters, and endless ghosting can seriously mess with your head. Mental health is no joke when it comes to dating. And that's where Floor comes to change the narrative. The best thing about the Floor app is it's not just another dating app. It's a sanctuary for sanity in a crazy world of dating. Imagine a place where you can be yourself and connections are made without the drama. You can now say goodbye to the mind games and hello to the meaningful conversations. At Floor, they're all about empowering you to take control. A woman chooses who to talk to and how. There's a safe mode in all chats that doesn't allow dirty talk or explicit pics, and only a woman can turn it off. Only when she's ready. The worst part about dating is how redundant conversations could feel, and I feel your pain on that. But what I love about this app is that there's several games in the app to help break the ice. That way it can help you navigate the conversation and it doesn't feel redundant. So if you're tired of the dating app circus affecting your mental health, I strongly advise you to try the Floor app. It's a journey of self-discovery, laughter, and meeting fantastic people who won't make you question your life choices. Download the Floor app right now, F-L-U-R-E, and spend a night chatting. And I hope you have a great time and find your perfect match.
No, zero people knew in my life.
Zero? Because you know what? Because I did think you were cute. So you didn't. But here's the thing. I have a gaydar. That's pretty well. So like I did question.
Yeah.
But like at first, like instinct, you're like, oh, he's cute. You kind of like you have this like masculine energy about you.
I appreciate that.
And are you a top? You're a bottom.
No. I would say, you know, I don't classify myself. I would say person dependent.
Person dependent. Okay. Yeah. So you're verse.
Yeah.
I don't want to classify, but we're going to. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
but like, you know, you, I think just seeing you at first sight, I guess it's, you wouldn't assume right away. I guess. I mean, I don't even know. Like, that's the thing. That's the thing about like the gay community. Like, you just never know, yeah. You know, like you could be masculine, you could be feminine, but like that doesn't, even if you are like, let's say a feminine straight dude, like that, because your femininity doesn't always classify your sexuality,
right? Absolutely.
So you know, it's I try not to judge, even if I feel a certain way. I'm just like, I will only believe it until they tell me.
Yeah. And anyway. And sometimes, you know, if you feel it, you feel it.
Yeah. There's like some moments where like that's pretty obvious. See, we like the same thing. We like dicks, so it's cool. Like there's some pretty obvious ones, and there's ones that are just like you don't know. But you're one of those like you could go either way. You know.
I appreciate.
You don't
that.
Know. Yeah. It's like either you could be like a femme straight guy or you could just be gay.
Yeah. It's and cool either way. Most people told me like they never really thought of who I was with. Like they always just thought I was a cool person. So like,
yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. That means you know what that means? That means you have good people around you.
Yeah, I do. I really
do. And that's amazing because like there's been such a, I mean, I will say one time in junior year of high school. And I'm such an asshole for this, so sorry, Shane. but I remember I was friends with this guy, and he was, you know, he was obviously very flamboyant. Yeah. And I remember, and I was ignorant, but I remember in class, in English class, I like asked him in front of everybody, and I was like, "Are you gay?" And he wasn't out yet, and he was like, "What the fuck? Shut the fuck up, bitch," you know. And then like he brought it up to me a few years later, and was like, "That wasn't cool, but like, you know, I wasn't ready." And we all were ignorant at one point, right?
Absolutely.
So like I definitely learned. I was like, "Wow, that's not." That's, I think that's why I'm very careful to just not assume someone's gay until they tell me.
Yeah.
Unless they're really like gold star gay.
I had someone in eighth grade call me gay. Like he was like joking, but he called me gay and I punched him in the face.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Cause I didn't think I was gay at that time.
When did you come out?
I didn't come out till I was 26.
Yo, that's like, it's recent. Like recent.
Yeah. Like I'm like a baby gay. I'm like 6 years old.
Oh my God. Wait, how old are you now? Don't mind me asking.
32.
You're 32?
Yeah.
Oh, you look great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I thought you were maybe like 28 like me. That's
fine.
You
look great too.
Do I?
Yeah.
Thank you. I needed that. I really did. But yeah, no, that, but I mean, still, that's so recent. Like what? So yeah. Were you dating women before?
No, I was.
You were just like,
I've been messing around with guys since I was 17 years old.
Wow. But it was very like, underneath the covers, like don't tell people like you weren't out.
Yeah. Okay. Like also messing with like guys that were straight.
Okay. So here's the thing about that. I'm friends. Look, like I'm friends with a lot of gay men, and that's an obvious thing. And every single person has told me about them hooking up with a straight guy.
Yeah.
It's a very, very common thing.
And the funny thing is, I used to be in denial about being gay because I felt like I was masculine and I played sports and stuff. So I was like, no, I'm not gay. This is just like a phase or something like that.
Yeah.
But when I moved here, I started meeting guys that were like.
Because you're from, the background, sorry, you're from Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Right.
Most city to be exact.
Yes. Yes. Represent.
But it was just different meeting people that were like me, and it confused me.
Right.
Like, wait, if these people are gay, that means I'm gay. And I got really depressed. I went through like a really like deep depression having to accept that.
Right. And I think especially like, how is it like being a black man who is gay? Because when people think of black men, they think of a lot of masculinity. You know, like did you ever feel like, you know, being black that ruined your masculinity? I don't know if that's like offensive. I don't know if that's offensive at all. And I don't mean to be offensive, but like.
No, I think.
Like, let's be real. Black men are at top of the masculinity pool, whether we like to admit it or not.
Absolutely.
Because especially it's like, big dick, like that. You know what I mean? It's like you think black men like big dick, but which they're not all big. Let me just tell you that. But like they assume those things because, again, whether we accept it or not, we put them on the masculine before white men. Let's be real. Before white men. That's why white men are intimidated by black men, because there's a sense of masculinity there.
Yeah.
You know, and then being gay and being black, like, did that play a part?
I think being gay and being black and not being out, for me, it was a struggle. Because it was just like, I have to play this role. And like, I feel like I had to fake being who I was, and then when I finally became who I was, it was overwhelming because I had to actually learn who Mike Brown was, because once I came out, I got really into like the gay culture, like trying to be a part of it, and in Los Angeles it wasn't there for me. I mean, for a little while it was like, you know, I played basketball in this excuse me.
Oh, burp on the show, please. It makes you more human.
I played in a gay basketball league and it was fun.
A gay basketball league? Yeah. That's like specifically gay basketball.
Yes.
You know what? I like that. I like that.
It.
But did you not like that?
I liked it, but just to be honest, like since we're being honest,
yeah,
I didn't feel that it was all the way inclusive. And I say that because if you look at the sport of basketball, it's minority dominant, right?
Right.
And in this league, we were the minority, and it just felt weird.
Right.
And
the minority of a minority sport kind of thing. Like you were like an extra, like even though it's like we're all minorities, let's all be one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get
but
that.
But it's very separate.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you walk in a gym and you'll see like a bunch of like the white gays in one area, black gays in another area. And it's like, feels like high school a little bit.
Right.
You know, it feels weird. And I needed a break from that. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I took a break, not only from that, but just from like the gay community in general, it really made me define gay for myself. Because, I don't know what that shit is about.
Right. No, I think that's real. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen that movie Moonlight?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. I just watched it the other day too. Beautiful movie.
Yeah.
I think like it is about a man, for those who haven't seen the movie. It shows different stages of a man from his childhood to his adulthood, of just, you know, how he was raised and all the struggles that he went through. But he was, you know, he was gay.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he was made fun of when he was younger and was really beat up a lot. So when he was an adult, he was very masculine because he was trying to mask all of that. He was trying to cover up all of that. And I think, like, I mean, at first I thought the movie was about just black masculinity.
Yeah.
But it actually relates to everybody.
Absolutely.
It wasn't just about, you know, a black man going through it and going through the struggles. It was one of those things where I think everyone could relate to this, where, you know, we forget who we are when we're younger.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to mask that, because we think, you know, because we were made fun of, called this word and that word, we have to like put up this front. You know, like, did you ever feel like you kind of related to that in that sense? Like, because you came out pretty late. Did you ever feel like?
I felt like the later version of him my whole life. So like his, you know, he was like the, not to say I was a drug dealer.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if he was a drug dealer, but just the way he carried himself. Right. Yeah. I felt like I carried myself very, excuse me.
Keep burping, bitch.
I felt like I carried myself very masculine and like I wanted to appear a certain way, like
kind of like Frank Ocean. We talked about this.
Yeah, we did. Yes.
Because you do have like a Frank Ocean vibe where you're very artistic and you're very in touch with your emotions, and you have your hair dyed blonde and, you know, and you're like very like handsome and well dressed. Not that I'm like trying to hit on you. I'm okay over here. But like beginning of his career, you know, there was a lot of especially being in the music career and being a man in the music career, you know, having to like to make money and, you know, cater to the women, because that's where you make money.
Yeah,
from, right?
Absolutely.
And then having, you know, to like come out and be like, I'm gay and stuff like that. Like, I feel like, are you Frank Ocean?
Honestly, him coming out really inspired me.
Did it?
It did, because it was like, man, like,
ooh, Channel Orange. This dude,
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. And he was like, I remember I was in the car one time and I was listening to Bad Religion.
Oh,
started crying.
Oh
yeah.
My God. Did you cry? Really?
I did. Cause I've been there where like I've talked to strangers about my life when I couldn't even talk to like friends.
Why
and
were
family.
You so scared though? Here's the thing. Like, let's get to the rooted issue here. Like, why were you so scared?
I didn't think that people would accept me because I didn't accept myself.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this as being negative in my life. So it's like everybody sees this as negative. You know, especially when you're young, when you're 17.
And it was a different time. Like, we're 90s
Absolutely.
Babies.
And in the South.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
the only gay men, bitch, that I grew up seeing were like, you knew they were gay.
Right.
Because they probably had on heels. They probably had weed.
Right. Like, there's like this assumption of like, you know, when you're gay, you're pretty much like a woman. You're right. Flamboyant. But
and
like,
I was scared to feel connected to that.
Right.
And now in my life, I do, and not to say I feel connected enough to be that, but yeah, I have friends that are very feminine. I have friends that are trans. I have friends like just of all nature, and it doesn't bother me anymore. But back then it was like, if this is the only thing that I see as a gay person growing up, this is all I know a gay person to be.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to be associated with that.
Right. Right. You don't want to be categorized in one box.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, because I'm gay, I have to wear heels now?
Right.
I don't want to wear heels.
Right.
That's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, sorry. It's a lot of burping on this show. We're drinking a lot of beer. So one time I dated this guy. This was like pre-BGT, right? So this was like hella years ago. And I will say that I'm thankful for dating this guy because one, he made my theme song. So shout out to
that's what's up.
Shout out to him. He made this theme song like after we broke up. We still kept friends.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a very conservative bubble. Mm-hmm. Santa Clarita Valley. What's up? Holla, SCV. Awesome town. And you know, I mean, it was a nice place to grow up. I'm not going to throw shade, but it was a very like I wasn't really exposed to a lot.
Right.
I really wasn't. And I dated a guy who was actually 10 years older for me, and he was from Tennessee.
Okay.
Nashville, Tennessee. And he was black, of course. And while I was dating him, he was converting to the Nation of Islam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he was, you know, he really educated me on the oppression of the black community.
Yeah.
And racism. Because back then, I will say that I was extremely ignorant. I was like one of those. This was like pre-Trump, y'all. So none of this shit was like talked about. So, you know, I was really thinking like, you know, segregation's done, bitch. Like, we good, you know, like we're good on racism. We accept everybody. And like, I mean, personally, I accepted everybody.
A lot of people think that, though. Like, a lot of people really believe that racism isn't that bad until they actually interact with somebody.
Right.
Like, when you realize that your friend has been through it, or somebody you're right. dating or something, like,
or even if they put you in your place and you're like, yeah. whoa, you know, and like, I mean, with him specifically, you know, I will say he was the beginning stage of me understanding racism and yeah. like the struggles of what a black man goes through. Right. And like, he really educated me on that. He made sure to make sure, and he even said it to me too. He's like, are you dating black men because of the fetish or because actually like me?
I ask all the time when I date somebody.
Is it a fetish? Yeah.
Yeah, I have to ask, because if you'll date me and you'll date some other black dude that looks nowhere near. And not to say that you only date attractive black men, but if I see you date somebody that is like, where did you meet this person?
Right.
And how did you meet me?
Right.
I'm going to ask.
Right.
And if you get offended, because I've had guys get offended, I've had guys get very defensive, and it's like, why are you so defensive if it's not a fetish? I've had guys that I've asked, and they just explain it to me. Simple.
I mean, I will say that I did get kind of defensive, because I was like, I'm not trying to fetish, because I don't really think like that about anybody, you know, because it's just like, you are attracted to what you're attracted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like offended for him to think that like I was just trying to fetishize him. But, you know, he did try to just clarify with me that that there's more to it than just dating a black man. There's a lot of things that come through. And so he really educated me on that. But I will say, I mean, he was a great person. But again, he was older. So it's older generation. I'm going to blame it on that. He was also homophobic.
Mm.
And he was transphobic.
Mm.
And for me, I was always like, you're preaching to me about the discrimination that you go through
mm-hmm.
as a black man. And I was like, as you know, a gay person is getting discriminated just like you as well. I mean, granted, you're going through different things, like, you know, I get it, I understand, but like, it's still discrimination at the end of the day.
Right.
So I was like, you're a minority, why are you going to discriminate another party that's also being discriminated, you know? And that brings me back to being a you know, for you being a black queer, because one, you're being discriminated for being black, unfortunately.
Right.
And then now you also have the whole discrimination of being gay.
Yeah.
Like, and how do you go through that, you know?
I can understand why some black people feel the way they do, because the black community, and this is just me speaking from my perspective, mm. I don't know if the black community feels supported by the gay community, you know? And I've even seen situations where it's like, okay, something happens in the world, let's say, you know, the Pulse thing, rest in peace to everyone that passed in that situation, but everyone was, you know, Pulse, ribbon, and then when somebody gets killed by the cops, it's kind of like, let's turn our heads. Or I had to check someone, not check them, but I politely told them, I corrected them. Because as all these people are getting killed by the cops, he posts online, and this is a gay friend.
Wow.
If you know any good cops, please put it on my Facebook now. We need to, like, people need to know that there are good cops out there. Blue lives matter.
Okay, that's the thing. Okay, I'm gonna go into that for a second because it's okay. It's not necessarily about the people that are cops, right? It's what they're being taught.
Yeah.
In that community of cops, but that's
absolutely. But I told him, I said, you know,
yeah.
Granted, there are good cops, but we're talking about the fucked up ones right now.
Right, exactly.
And he got very defensive.
And there's a lot of them. That's the thing. Yeah. It's not just one. It's a lot.
Yeah. No, he tried to tell me how somebody, you know, we don't know what the person was doing.
Right.
You know, we don't know why they were arrested or shot. So I had to share an experience, my own experience of being put in the back of a car, a gun being drawn to one of my friend's head. Mind you, we're all sober. And we're like 20, you know, and they handcuffed me, put me in the back of the car. And I asked him, I said, so knowing me, what did I do for that?
Yeah.
You know.
Right. It's so sad. It's so sad. But I've dated a lot of black men in my life. Not on purpose. It just happens, y'all. Okay. Just I like what I like. But almost every single one of them have told me about a situation very similar to that.
That's crazy, right?
And I will say, I mean, some of them are fuckboys, but they're not bad people. I've never dated a bad person.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, maybe they didn't agree with my feelings. Whatever. That's a personal issue. But, like, as a social issue, as them, you know, a part of, like, a fucking America, like, they're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And they've been through that, you know? And that's, like... That's why I really strongly stand by the black community. And I know I'm not black, but I feel like here's the thing, because my ex taught me a lot about, you know, what a black man goes through.
Yeah.
Right. And he straight up told me, he's like, it might not be me, but since you are dating black men, like you are going to date. I mean, you are going to get married to one. You're going to have kids and they're going to be black.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to understand what we go through. Yeah. And that's the same thing for me, for being Asian American, like being Filipino. Like, yeah, I would want, like, whatever race I end up dating, like, I would want them just as much to respect my culture. Yeah. And not make fun of my culture. Definitely. Or like make, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's a whole biracial thing. It's like, if you're gonna date someone outside of your race, you gotta really, like, understand what they're going through. Except white men, but that's fine. Except white men gotta understand us.
I had someone I was dating that would constantly put filters on me to make me lighter skin.
Really?
Yeah. And I told him to stop.
What was he? Was he black? No.
No, he was a white guy. But I asked him to stop doing it. And I guess he got in his feelings about it. And he told me, would you prefer if I used the West African filter?
What? Are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
What did you say?
I forgot, but I went off. I had veins.
You blacked out.
I had veins coming out of my head and shit. And he's like, I'm just joking. I can't accept that joke. I'm sorry.
Right, right. Okay, so, yeah, it's crazy because I feel like as I'm getting older, you know, I did grow up in a town that was very conservative.
Yeah.
So as I'm getting older and I'm getting more educated and more aware of society, you do realize a lot of racism that's going on. And for instance, one of the big ones recently that made me even realize a lot about people, no names. She's like one of my very close to me, but, it's the whole Ariel situation, how Halle Bailey is going to be the new Ariel.
People are, like, really pissed about that.
People are pissed.
It's a cartoon.
That's what I said. I was like, and I got in an argument with a friend. And, like, if you're listening, I said everything I needed to say to you. But I'm going to say it on the show. And I'm not going to say your name out of respect. But it's a fucking mermaid. And she did say, she was like, it just ruins the whole story. Like, a white girl with red hair. Like, we should stick to that. I was like,
no.
But
right.
But it doesn't change the fucking story. It's just a black girl now playing. Right. Like, why not? Why not have that? Like, what's the, like, what is that? What kind of damage is that going to do to anybody?
Who wants to follow a black girl's fairy tale? Like, people are scared of that.
And you know what she said? She said, she's like, well, we wouldn't change Tiana's character to white. And I was like, uh-uh. Tiana, first off, Princess and the Frog and Tiana had a, it was very close to the black community. There's a lot of like the black culture in that.
Yeah.
So why would you put a white girl in the black culture? Little Mermaid, there's no fucking, it's not a fucking race culture. She's a fucking fish. She's a fucking fish, bro. So who gives a shit if she's black or white or fucking Asian? She's a right. fucking fish. Oh, bitch. I could go on. Anyway, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, shit. I think it's dope that they're using Ariel as black. Like, and what I really love, though, because social media has really, like, made things funny, especially black social media. So it's like, you know,
I feel like
people
I
are mad about
black
it.
Twitter.
People are like mad about it, and, like, we make it even funnier. Like, I saw a video where they had Ariel on a rock and they were playing like a Tamia song.
Right, right, exactly. Like, I said, there's so many great memes. And it's like, it's funny because it's like, what do you think? Like, there was like one where it's like, this is what white people are going to think, you know, Little Mermaid's going to be. And it's like, I don't know. Like, they're just like, I don't know. It's just like, it's still the same story, no matter
it's
what.
It's a fucking cartoon.
It's a
like,
fucking,
there are
it's a
kids.
Fucking fish, bitch. She's a fish. She's a fucking fish. She doesn't have white culture or black culture right. or Asian culture. And she had the nerve to tell me, I'm sorry. Okay, she's, oh, I'm so sorry.
Mermaids aren't
I'm
even
going
fucking
off.
Real.
Like, she imagined, she was just like, well, you'd be, you know, it'd be annoying if they changed Mulan's race. It's like, yeah, because that changes the whole fucking story. Because that takes place in fucking China. Like, that's a whole ass different story. But, like, Little Mermaid changing her to black does not change the fucking story. Oh, my God. People are stupid. I'm pissed. Oh, sorry. I had to let that out. Ooh, ooh. I love you. I do. You know that I love you. You know who you are. You know that I love you. I just don't agree. Anyway, being a black queer.
Oh, being a black queer. Being a black queer in Los Angeles is kind of hard to navigate.
Oh.
Like, when I go home, I feel like there is a community.
Really?
I do.
In the South?
Yeah.
More than LA, because you think LA, because it's more, like, liberal, diverse.
There's a gay community, but there's not really, like, a...
You know what?
At least I don't know where the black gay community is at.
I'm not gay. I'm not a gay man, so I can't fully, like, talk on this, but from just my perspective as a woman who likes dick, who hangs out with a lot of gay men, I feel like it's all intertwined. But
we need a space just for us. But it's necessary.
Yeah, it is necessary because I think it's necessary because there is a lot more, I don't want to say a lot more oppression, but like it's a different type. It's a lot more
objectifying.
Right.
Like,
right.
I've been places and I feel so much for women now because men can be disrespectful as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, now if I put my hands on you, it's going to be a hate crime.
Right, right, right.
But I've had people tell me really disrespectful things. And it's like, man, now if I reacted to this, I would be wrong.
Right.
You know, like you squeeze my ass, or you grab my dick. Like, that's not okay. You know,
right.
And it's what's so craziest to me is women are fighting for this shit. Like,
right.
This Me Too movement is all about this shit. But in the gay community, it's like nobody respects that shit. To me, like, people will still do disrespectful shit to you. And you'll be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like, how do you feel that comfortable grabbing my body parts?
I see that a lot.
Yeah.
In the gay community. And I think because there is that stigma because it's all men. Well, I'm specifically talking about the gay men community, not the lesbian community or the women gay community. I'm talking specifically in the men gay community. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of it's men, and like men have that mentality of, or think they, you know, have that mentality where it has to be all sexual. So it's more okay.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I stand by the Me Too movement, obviously, but you know, it is kind of, women have definitely gone through their issues with assault and all that stuff.
And
but
being a black man is like
going back to fetishizing.
Yeah.
Because of that.
How big are you? top or bottom? Like, these are like initial questions that people
Sorry,
ask.
Sorry, I asked you if you were
No, it's all good.
Are you throwing shade?
No, not at all. No, I'm saying like somebody meeting you and that being the first question they ask you, it's like, you don't even know my fucking name.
Right.
Like.
Yeah. So going back to when you came out.
Yes.
Let's get into that.
Yes.
How did your family and friends react to that?
My sister was very open to it.
Okay.
So I told my sister first, and I called her and I was like, I got something to tell you. And she was like, just say it. And I ended up texting it to her, and then we talked about it and shit. And then I told my best friend, and he was like he was very open to it, but he was also like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, is okay. Did your best friend ever, like, here's the thing about straight men. they get weird. Some get weird. Not all. Some get weird being friends with gay dudes. Like,
yeah.
Did you ever have to go through that struggle, especially with like your guy friends being like, I'm gay?
None of my close friends. Like, they really, really embraced me. Like, they were just
that.
Like, yeah. No,
wait,
really
was it you? Was it you during the event where people were asking questions and someone said, I'm here with my queer best friend or
no,
something? That wasn't you?
No, I was by myself. But there was another guy that said that he had a podcast with his...
queer. Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't you. I just get everything.
Yeah. No, but I remember that. I was
and
like,
I thought
that
was beautiful.
Really fucking dope.
That was dope. Yeah.
But yeah, like my friends, like, they were all open to it. They were shocked because, I mean, they've been knowing me for so long. But
right.
When I told my best friend, he was like, I remember he took a breath. He was like, okay, how do you know? I was like, right. Well, I mean,
you just know.
I fuck with guys. Like,
right. You told him
by that
like,
time. Yeah, I told I fuck around with guys. And after we talked about it, he was just like, man, I love you, but you need to go to therapy so you can get like just an unbiased opinion. And he really like guided me to therapy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how was therapy for you besides being too expensive?
Healing.
healing.
It was very healing because it forced me to deal with my shit.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like I dealt with a lot of past shit, like just from like recognizing like things stem like way beyond me, my parents, like there's
right.
shit that just was passed down.
Right.
And like just understanding shit, like even going back, like we were talking about the dry humping party.
having to talk about that in therapy.
Yeah. Man, fuck it. Yeah. This is broke girl therapy. So we're going to have therapy right here.
That's the whole point of this show.
So like the dry humping thing, it wasn't like a one time thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, it had happened a couple of times, and there was a time where like my grandmother had walked in on us.
Everyone was dry humping each other?
No, like just me
pillows?
And my cousin.
Oh, just you and your cousin.
And it was like the most shameful experience that I had as a kid. And like, it made me really distant from him because it was like,
wait, were you dry humping your cousin? Or
yes.
You guys, okay.
It was like he introduced me to this.
Right.
So
right.
It was like I blamed him for it.
Right.
And when I went to therapy, my therapist helped me understand that kids explore. You know,
yeah.
I don't know his experience. I don't know what he's been through.
You know what?
I
mean? Okay, no, continue and I will say something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kind of gave me a different way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so, I mean, I initially blamed him for me being gay. And through talking about it and, like, really, really talking about it, it was like, this is who I've been at my core.
Yeah.
You know, and I needed an excuse for it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And, it was a very interesting and healing experience and a lot of crying and just
long did you go to therapy for?
4 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
And
I took breaks. I took breaks. Like, my first therapist was this young lady, Emily. Shout out Emily.
What's up?
That'd be so crazy. She was a listener.
I want to have a therapist on the show. I feel like that'd be so good.
That'd be really dope.
I've been trying to reach out to some. Anyway, what's another story? Continue.
I wish I kept in contact with all my old therapists. Like, they were all, like, Emily just seemed very uninterested. But when I told her that, we had a really deep conversation about it because I wanted to switch therapists.
Right.
I don't like her. Like, she's not the TV therapist that's laying right. me on the couch and like giving me advice. She's right. making me work through this shit. And then we talked, and I was taking a break from therapy because I had got a job offer, and she was taking a break from
and
therapy.
And it was expensive.
Yeah. But I went back.
Yeah.
I went back, and I got this white guy because I was like, okay, I want a male therapist now.
Right.
I was going to like a counseling center.
Right.
So they let you like kind of decide what you wanted.
Wait, a counseling center, is that like cheaper? Let's talk
it
about it, because
it was a lot cheaper.
Okay.
I actually need to go to therapy.
Wait, what? $15 to $20?
Yeah.
Here in California?
Yes. It's
hold up. We need to talk about this because I need to go see a therapist because I'm crazy.
Do you want me to give the place on here?
Yeah. Give it.
Airport Marina Counseling.
Okay.
It's by the airport.
It's recorded, so I'm going to remember that and go.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a really dope place. They give you like the initial intake, and then they ask you, what do you see your ideal therapist looking like?
Oh, that's amazing. And it's really affordable?
Yeah, it's income based. So wow. It's on a sliding scale.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, this is actually very mind blowing, and I'm glad that you're saying this on the show. Yeah. Because I say therapy's too expensive, let's do a podcast. But like in actuality, if you feel like you really, just how you were saying, you really needed help.
Yeah, no, I feel like I've gotten so far in my life that it's like, okay, let me go to therapy just to see where I'm at.
I feel like even if you don't necessarily feel lost, I feel like everyone has like something that they need to like talk out.
Absolutely.
Even if it's like they can't tell like their closest friends about, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like they could go to a professional and they could get like a professional opinion about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I think that like, I mean, I think no matter what, it's, even if it's expensive or not, like it's just good to invest in yourself.
I would say just try it out.
You gonna buy that fucking Gucci belt?
Yeah.
Bitch, that ain't gonna save you, bitch. Because the Gucci belt ain't gonna save you. Get some motherfucking therapy.
Right.
God.
Shoot, after that, you might not even want a Gucci belt.
Right, exactly. Like, I have a better life. I don't need this shit.
But right. I asked for a male therapist after my female, because the first time I just wanted somebody young, and they gave me this young girl.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I want a male. And they gave me this guy, and he just seemed very textbook.
Right.
And I told him one day, I was just like, I'm uncomfortable with you. And he was like, why? And I told him, I'm because, again, shout out James.
Yeah.
And that's who suggested me to go to therapy. But I told him, I was like, man, I feel uncomfortable with this therapist. He was like, talk to him about it. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I ended up talking to him about it, and we ended up having like the best sessions. And when
that's good.
When I ended therapy with him, I cried.
I think that's good advice.
Shout out Max.
Actually, I think that's really good advice that you said that, because there's been plenty of times actually that I've spoken to people who listen to the show or are friends and have said like, you know, therapy hasn't really fully helped me. Like, it's kind of helped me, but not really. But it maybe like all they needed to do was to express what their issue was with their own fucking therapist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because our therapists are people too.
Absolutely. And
so
I know that.
Right. And like, we just think that they're going to be like this robotic to help you, and you're going to be saved by any therapist. But if you have a discussion with them, I think that's beautiful. That's a good thing. That's really good advice to give.
That's what that's what made him human.
Yeah.
Because he was a brick wall in front of me.
Just like, oh, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, exactly. And when I told him that, we were having like full on conversations.
Yeah.
And I fucking boohooed after that. But so I took a break after that, and then I got back in when I turned 30. I was like, I'm 30. Let me see where I'm at 30 years old. And they asked me what kind of therapist I wanted, and I said I wanted a black man.
Ooh.
And they gave me one. And that was probably like the least open I was in therapy.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, initially it started that way, just because it was another black man.
Right.
And at that point in my life, I'm like gay.
Right.
So
you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I needed to talk about it. I'm in a relationship that wasn't really working for me at the time. I needed to talk to somebody. And I'm like, I don't know if he wants to hear about my gay relationship.
Right.
And I ended up telling him one day how I felt, because he would just sit there. As I'm talking to you, I see his face in my head just sitting there and just looking at me. And I told him, and he was like, because I told him, I said, you just sitting here like you don't feel anything. He was like, how do you know I don't feel anything? And I was like, okay. Oh, so he's in.
Yeah.
and then we just went for it, and we had amazing conversations. I got out of a relationship in like a year after going to that therapy, that therapist. So like, it was very helpful. And then I haven't been to therapy since after him, but I'm ready to get back in.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's such a, I think I've never actually had anyone on this show really like embrace like their therapy sessions before. So you were the very first one. You're like the very first one in so many ways.
It gave me a rush, like smoking weed, drinking. Like when I first started going, because I went to therapy high one time, and I remember the therapist was like, I appreciate you letting me know, but you can't come here high.
Ooh.
And
he's like, I want you sober and like in touch with your feelings right now.
And being sober and in touch with your feelings and sharing that shit with a stranger
is
a rush.
It's a rush. And then like, here's the thing, because my roommate Irva, she's sober. She doesn't like drink or smoke or anything. And she always says, she's like, you know, like everyone else who does have their substance, their vice, you know, they can run to it. They can numb themselves.
Yeah.
But when you're sober, you have to fucking sit with your motherfucking problems. You really have to fucking feel. And it's a whole different thing. So doing that in therapy, I'm sure it's like so powerful.
It gave me so much. Like,
yeah,
I'm on the cusp of not smoking weed in my life. Like, I feel it coming.
Right.
That's why I'm like, maybe I need to go to therapy, because it's so comfortable though for me.
Right.
It's so comfortable. Like,
I have to sneeze.
Bless you.
Allergies. I always sneeze twice. Okay, no, I'm good. Continue.
But yeah, like, weed is very comfortable for me, and it doesn't give me the same feeling that it used to. Like, I've recognized, like, it was somewhat of an escape for me.
Right.
Which I still enjoy. Like, I enjoy it socially now, and I enjoy it at night. So, like, if I can't sleep, because sometimes I stay up, and I'm just, like, when I'm working on
me
things,
too.
I
can just stay up. Creatives always tend to do that shit. I, like, will stay up, just, like, my mind running and thinking of, like, I'm, like, acting out interviews in my head.
I do that, too. I think about what I'm going to say. I'm, like...
Yeah, because you have a podcast too. So like we are live in our head.
Absolutely.
We're like, oh, this would be dope to talk about this. And you get into like your whole dialogue.
But it's tough because I'm still on school schedule as far as waking up.
Oh,
so it's I'll go to bed at 2, but still wake up at like 7:30.
Oh shit.
And it's like, nah, I can't.
Nah, bitch.
Do this.
If I don't have work in the morning next morning, I'm like waking up at noon. I'm like,
I can't do it. I have to get up early.
But, you know what? I need to see therapy because I can sleep a lot. And that's a sign of depression. I ain't gonna lie. Because I can fucking sleep. Or maybe I have some like a health issue because I can sleep. I don't know what it is. It's like I don't sleep at late at night, but when like I can sleep a lot during the day. I need to fix my face. It's the whole thing. It's not about me. Anyway. Well, we're ending. We're kind of, I'm so drunk. Wow, we're getting to the, oh my God. Speak, bitch. Speak. Any last words about being, you know, a black queer or just being yourself? It's not, I don't want to label you, but.
I guess what I would say to anybody listening is, you know, don't get caught up in any labels, and get to the core of who you are and start defining things for yourself. You know, we have all these boxes in the world in general that we try to connect to, you know. I went to HBCU because I wanted to connect to being black, because I was made fun of in high school for being in the band and in math club and shit like that. So I went to HBCU and I was like, oh, I'm just a black person. Like, it's no like box. I'm just black. Came out, got into the gay community. They wanted to put me in a box.
Yeah.
You have to fit into something. Are you masculine? Are you feminine? Are you this? Are you that? Let me step out of this and just figure out who Mike Brown is. So when I return to this, I can show people what it's like to just be you.
Right.
And hopefully they can find their way in that too. So yeah.
Oh, you're such a beautiful person.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You really are. You're like such a great energy and a great soul. I'm a medium now, so like I can tell
that's
you that.
That's what's up.
I mean, I have to get in touch with my third eye.
Start bringing people on and just read them.
I know. I'd be like, you are single. And they're like, okay, bitch. Like, we do that. I'm like, oh, whatever. Okay, so where can people find you? You do music too. Let's talk about that.
I do.
Tell people about that.
So I started out producing music when I was living in New Orleans. And I've always rapped, but I was always scared to put music out.
Right.
So like a couple of years ago, I put some of my own music out. And I did a lot, like a couple of shows, and it was fun. I've been taking a break from music because it was kind of stressing me out. Right. Just feeling like I wasn't sounding like Drake or like,
you don't need it,
you know, or like just the mainstream people. But now that's something else I had to redefine for myself. Like,
right.
Who am I as a musician in 2019? Because I was trying to live up to what I did in the past.
Right.
It's like, who am I today? So I'm having fun with it. You can find all my music at primomiguel.com, Just Mike Beats for beats. That's on like Instagram and SoundCloud, stuff like that.
Aww. And then your podcast, plug that in your Instagram, yes, and all that stuff.
Podcast, The Art of Letting Go. It's on Apple and all those great sites, YouTube, if you want to see my face.
And it's cute, y'all. You got a cute ass face.
Art of Letting Go podcast on all social media networks. It's a really good podcast. It's aww, fun yet very serious, and like it's real.
It's therapy.
Yeah,
it's therapy. Podcasting is therapy.
It is.
Yeah, and then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brocotherapy.com. All that shit is there. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Broke girl therapy. Broke girl therapy.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.